Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. My name is Dr. Casey Cease, and today we're going to dive into the world of biblical commentaries. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago we touched on the importance of commentaries in our study and interpretation of the Bible, and today we're going to expand upon that discussion a little bit further. Commentaries are crucial for anyone that's serious about understanding and communicating the biblical message. However, it's important to recognize that different tasks often require different tools. Just as a carpenter needs more than one type of saw, a Bible student or teacher benefits from having access to different kinds of commentaries. So let's explore some of the reason why different commentaries are necessary. The dominant need for any Bible student or teacher is to understand the meaning of the text accurately. This is about faithfulness to the biblical message rather than imposing our own ideas on the text. Commentaries that focus on accurate meanings can be subdivided into several categories. One of the first categories is textual translation and commentaries. These commentaries aim to establish the text, provide basic help in translation, and choose among variant readings. They offer elementary assistance with Greek syntax and semantics. Another category is grammatical and linguistic commentaries, which help to ensure faithfulness to the meanings of the words and phrases within their literary setting. Lastly, we have theological commentaries. These set words and phrases in the broader context of chapters, books, and even the entire Bible. Understanding a word or concept in isolation from its linguistic and theological context can be seriously misleading, which is why these commentaries often overlap. And so when we look at the Bible to understand a passage and expound upon it effectively, a faithful historical reconstruction is often required. That is because actions and sayings in the Bible cannot be accurately interpreted for today's context until we understand their original setting in the ancient world. This involves disciplines like history and archaeology, which can reconstruct the world of the Bible for modern audience today. A good example of the need for this can be found in Hemer's The Letters to the Seven Churches of Asia, which provides a historical backdrop that enhances our understanding of these texts. However, it's important to strike a balance. Historical information should support the text rather than become an end to itself. Another critical function of commentaries is to offer guidance on practical application. It's important to avoid the danger of reading our own applications into passages. Instead, we should seek books that remind us of the various directions in which practical lessons can be found. Some of the older commentaries excel in applying scripture to leaders. However, practical concerns must always be reviewed in the light of strict exegetical considerations to avoid trivializing the Word of God. A few commentaries manage to perform all of these functions. They provide textual, grammatical, theological, historical, and practical insights. However, these commentaries are rare. It's also important to note that not all books that appear to be commentaries are truly so. Some series offer helpful insights into interpretation issues and methods, but aren't necessarily comprehensive commentaries. And so when considering commentaries, it's also essential to distinguish between individual volumes and series. Series can be helpful, but series can be sometimes uneven in quality, and this is often because they are farmed out to busy scholars. So each volume in a series should be judged on its individual merit. A good book for this has been written by D.A. Carson. I will put the link to the book in the show notes, which will help you choose different commentaries based on what you're looking for. And so as we talk about commentaries, one thing that might be helpful is to look at different software tools that are available to us that can help us in studying the Bible and give us greater access to commentaries and other resources. And so let's take a look at Accordance Bible software. All right, so here is what the inside of Accordance looks like when you first open it up, at least the way in which I have it set up to open. One of the neat things with Accordance is you can set it up so that it opens in the manner that you want it to every time you open it up. And so I have mine open up with the King James Bible on the left-hand side, and then it opens up with different commentaries, cross-reference tools, a bunch of different things on the left-hand side. And so there's a couple really nice things about Accordance software that I like. Now, someone else may use Logos. A lot of these perform the same actions. They may have some nuances. One might be better at something else. But one of the first things that we notice when we can come in here is right here on the left-hand side, you can see all of the different categories of Bible helps that I have inside of Accordance. So I have commentaries, dictionaries, Greek and Hebrew lexicons, grammar tools. I also have in here visuals, devotionals, cross-references, study Bibles, practical application. There's some preaching things in here. There's a bunch of stuff here that's offered in Accordance. And so if we're as we continue talking about commentaries, you can look in here and see that I have quite a bit of commentaries. You can have much more than this. One of the things Accordance does is it offers packages. And so in a package deal, you can get certain commentaries and other things with it. And then you can also go, and if you'd like, you can buy sets of commentaries or you can buy one-offs and they get added to your library. Now, the beautiful thing about this is you can see how many commentaries I have here. Not each one of these is an individual book. Some of these are individual books, but you can see if we come down here and look at, let's see, right here, if we look at Christ-centered expositions. The reason I'm using this is because I know it shows the volumes next to the side of it. This has 25 volumes in it. And so this is 25 different books just in this commentary. Cornerstone, kind of the same thing here. These are all, if I click here, these are all different books within the commentary set here. And so this is quite a bit of books right here. And so the nice thing about this is, if I'm traveling or if I have limited space, rather than having a bookshelf with 5 million books on it, I can bring all of this inside of one platform and have access to everything right here. Another really cool feature when we talk about Accordance that I use quite a bit is this research tab over here. Now, in this research tab, you could type anything and you want it to. Let's just type in blood, for instance. And so what that just did is it pulled every single one of my resources that we saw in this left pane, not just commentaries. It went through the dictionaries, anything that might have the word blood in it. You can see right here all the text that it has it in, all the commentaries. There's still more commentaries, and then all the dictionaries. And so let's just say I want to grab the Dictionary of Biblical Imagery. The appearance of blood is never a good sign. Okay, well, that's interesting. Let's expound that a little bit more by opening it up or hitting the More tab. The appearance of blood is never a good sign. While blood is natural, the sight of it is not to ancients. Its red color, along with its mystical connection with life and death, made it a powerful and ominous symbol of violence and wrong, guilt and coming punishment, right? So you can maybe that's not what I'm looking for. Blood as human life. Okay, maybe this is what I'm looking for. Blood as human life. Blood, often in the pair flesh and blood, stands for humanity. Maybe this is what I'm looking for. And so I can open this tool up if I want to, and I can go through this tool this way, right? And so imagine the amount of time it would take you to go through all of these resources and find entries about a particular topic you want to research. Well, here you can just type it in. It pulls all of those resources for you, and you can start going through and looking for passages that align with what you're thinking or what you're looking for. And so another cool thing that I really like inside of Accordance is this Add Parallel tab right here. And so a lot of times when I'm reading the King James, maybe I want to partner that with the NASB. And so I can sit here and I've got the King James on the left, I've got the NASB on the right. And as I scroll through here, they both update at the same time. And so I don't have to go back and forth between the Bible. I can read here. If something's not clear, maybe I want to look at it in another verse to get another book, another translation to see if it brings anything else out. Or I can go right into here and I can grab a commentary with it if I want to, right? And so now as I'm scrolling, you'll see that each of them, now this is all the way through verse 31, so that's probably not a good example. But if we grab another commentary, let's grab this one here, all right? And so as we scroll through, you'll notice that all three of these panes update at the same time. And I can add more panes if I want to. I can also take, and if I want the commentary over here, I can take and move that in the middle, right up against the King James with the NASB on the right. And so this is a really good tool for Bible study. You're able to go through it quicker than grabbing a bunch of commentaries and having 40 books on your desk. It gives you one place, one system where you can grab all this stuff together. And so let's say you just want to read one commentary. You can come up here and you can open up your library. You can grab one. I'm going to grab Phillips' commentary in honor of my good friend, Dr. Tim Merritt, who seems to love this commentary. So, Brother Merritt, if you're watching, I selected this one for you. One of the nice things about commentaries, let's just go to the book of Genesis, right? And so here's why commentaries are important, and this is why commentaries are helpful. And so you'll see a foreword at the beginning of the book. You'll see a preface where it talks about this book particularly. And then one of the nice things that Phillips' commentary does that I like is it gives a outline of the entire book. And so it'll give you an outline of the entire book of Genesis before you get into reading the book. And then if we pop this out a little bit more, if we want to go into chapter one, here is the first chapter of Genesis, is one of the most God-centered chapters in the Bible. And so it walks through and it gives you a little bit more insight into what is happening in the biblical text. Now, one area of caution is that while the Bible is the inspired word of God, the commentary is not. The commentary is studied thought. And so this is helpful to help us see nuances that we might miss when we read. This helps give background information. This helps us bring in other things. And so we have to remember that this is studied thought. And so there are things that you may come in contact with inside of a commentary that is not right. We are not saying that the commentary should be held on the same level as the Word of God. The Word of God is central. So here's John Phillips. You know, we could grab a different one. John Phillips is probably a little bit more friendly if we're talking about lay people or pastors. For someone that is scholarly, Pillar Commentary is a good commentary. One of the things you'll notice as soon as we get into a particular book, it'll start with a preface, just like the Phillips Commentary. It doesn't provide an overview or an outline of the chapters. But it does walk through abbreviations that they're going to use through here, so you know where some of this stuff comes from. So you'll see, like, if TR's capitalized, it's from the Textus Receptus. But when you get into one that's a little bit more technical, one of the things that you'll see is it'll start with talking about, there's just so much information in here that you have to keep scrolling and scrolling. What it'll do, let's see if we can get it this way. It'll give you the introduction. We already went through there. Here's some commentary. It'll start, this one starts with the word and it'll walk through its history here, right? This is looking at the book of Matthew. And so here you can see there's a lot more Greek word usage inside of here. And so this one is, remember, we were talking about different types of categories. This one is a little bit more of a critical commentary in terms of it just giving more in-depth scholarly stuff, whereas Phillips' commentary gives a real nice overview of the book. It gives you the outline. It walks through stuff in a more accessible manner. This, you're going to probably want some understanding of the Greek, or at least know how to use a Greek lexicon to look up some of these things. And so we can see there's a lot of different commentaries. And as we stated at the onset here, all of these commentaries are helpful. They all try to focus, not necessarily all on different things, but they have a different way of showing those. So thank you for joining me today on All Things Apostolic, as we looked at the need for several different commentaries and we took a closer look at the John Phillips commentary as well as the Pillar New Testament commentary. I hope you found this episode helpful and that it encourages you to dig deeper into the Word of God. Until next time, happy studying and God bless.